So I've told a story a while back about Costa Rica. And I'm going to dive back into Costa Rica. This is 1999. But it's about maybe a week or two previous to the story I told before. So if you want to hear that story, go up on the Solio website, you'll find it. It was entertaining for us. So I hope it'll be entertaining for you. So this is probably a week before early. I'll just set the stage. It was me and three friends, just out of high school, went to Costa Rica to surf. And Costa Rica in 1999 was very different than Costa Rica in 2013. I know. I was there last year. And my wife went, she said, wow, there's like not a lot of infrastructure. And I'm like, wow, this place is like, you know, metropolitan paradise compared to 1999. For instance, you could not get to the southern half of the country in 1999 but by a dirt road. It was very underdeveloped. Tourism had not boomed in Costa Rica in the 1999 area. There was just surfers that would kind of go down. And it was kind of a newer spot for surfing. So my friends and I, we said, hey, let's go to Costa Rica. This is going to be so exciting. We're going to like surf all these great points and whatever, and nobody's ever been there. And, you know, we even bumped into Wingnut, this kind of stuff. So it was like this dream surf tour of ours. So we get in, and we started in the north, and we said, well, one of the spots we want to go to is called Playa Naranjo. Or, I don't know why, not Orange Beach, surfers might call it. We call it Witch's Rock. And Witch's Rock, it's in the middle of nowhere. And at the time, there were two ways to get to Witch's Rock. One would be you get on a boat, like a fishing boat, out of a major city like Tamarindo, and go up the coast for the day, and the boat would drop you in the water, and you'd paddle over to your surf spot, and you'd surf, and you'd paddle back to the boat, and you'd leave. Or you could drive in, but it was, I think, like a 40-mile riverbed. It was just kind of not feasible. We didn't hear about people that drove in. But we had a RAV4 with four-wheel drive, and we had Johnny, if you remember Johnny, the cocaine dealer guy, and he's like, no problem, we'll go drive it in, you know? So we go, that's great, we've got time, let's drive to Witch's Rock and stay there for a few days. And the facilities at Witch's Rock are like the Boy Scouts put up some picnic tables. And so that's the facilities. So we took the day to drive in, and it was what you would expect. We're in the dry season, but there's still a lot of rain in Costa Rica. I mean, the first time we went through a riverbed, you know, we're like, and there's water, and we're like, oh, this is cool, you know. And then the second time, it's like coming up through the doors and into the car, and we're like, whoa. And the next time we get out, and we're like wading across, and Johnny's like pedal to the metal, like slamming through the river, just hopefully we make it through. It started to get nerve-wracking. We're like, wow, this is a pretty adventurous trip, and I hope we make it back. Like, if we got rain, we couldn't even leave. And there's nowhere to get us out. I mean, it'd be stuck forever. I don't know. So we finally made it into the beach, and we were exhausted. But it was like this beautiful, lush jungle, kind of like what you'd expect. You know, and we were the only people there. An empty beach for miles, just full of life. And we were so excited. You know, in Costa Rica, you see monkeys and all these things you don't see here. And the ocean in Costa Rica is the Pacific, where we were, but it's full of life. And we were so excited to see all this life. So we kind of go out on the beach, and we walk out there, and it's just gorgeous. It's just what you'd expect. But it's low tide, which wasn't the best for surfing. And so we kind of just start to trot out on the low tide, and we start to notice, like, animals all over the beach, like ocean life. Like, they'd be like, oh, that's a jellyfish. It'd be like this huge jellyfish just plopped on the sand, you know? Be like, oh, that's interesting. And then we walked a little bit, and there'd be, like, an eel, like writhing, like this big. You know, and you're like, oh, and it has, like, teeth. You're like, that's interesting. And then you go down, there's, like, a bat ray, like, flop. Like, it was all this, like, big sea life flopping on the beach, like sea life that would hurt you, you know, that kind of stuff. And we were like, well, we came all this way, let's go surfing. So we go out and we go surfing, and I was on a longboard, my buddies were on shortboards, and I mean, the whole time I'm out there, I just put my feet up. I sat on my surfboard, I looked down, it was probably 10 feet deep, but it was clear as crystal, and I could see sharks just like going by, and bat rays and eels. I mean, it was like, we were like, you know, very nervous that we would get bit And there would be, I mean, there's no evac. There's no cell phones. There's no nothing. It's just like you bit and you die and you bury him on the beach. It's like Jonathan, you know, Crusoe or whatever. So we had an okay time surfing. We were all pretty concerned, you know, about the wildlife there and being so far out. So we decided we're going to come back in. It's getting night. And we'll use one of those picnic tables as a tent. And so what we had for materials were my surfboard and mosquito nets. And we're like, well, that's going to work. You know, just put the mosquito nets over, put the surfboard on top. And so we kind of let the surfboard go out over the edge of the picnic table. And it's like a picnic table like you'd see around here. And then we drape the mosquito nets over and over both parts. Like kind of there's one part that was the surfboard that hung off. And so me and my buddy Chris, we decided, in the car had a guy who had the flu. So he was just in there vomiting, so we didn't want to go there. So we decided we're gonna kind of tuck up real close next to each other, Chris and I, and just go under where the surfboard is, and we're going to take that mosquito net and just wrap it like tight on us, you know, because we don't want to have, I don't know, bugs or whatever crawling on us. We were fine. So then we took the other mosquito net, hung it over the main part of the table, and my buddy Tim was in there. And where that hung out, we just kind of like put some rocks down to keep it from flapping or something. And you know, we're sitting there talking about our day. We're like so excited. We're in Costa Rica and we're at this epic surf spot. And we're hoping maybe a swell comes in and the tide gets better. And, you know, you kind of fallen asleep a little bit. And you're just kind of like taking in the sights. And I hear this little like bubble sound in my ear, like, and I like, you know, so I kind of wake up and go, hey, Tim, you have a flashlight? And he goes, yeah. So I get the flashlight, I look, and there's like this little crab. It's like, you know, those little guys, you see him in the tide pools, and he's like, eh. I'm like, oh, that guy's like a crab, and he's not scared. That's funny, because they're always scared around here. So like, oh, that's cool, you know, whatever. And then we turn off the light, and we start to go back to bed, and then we hear like more, like, it's kind of getting louder, like these bubbles. And so we turn on the lights, like, oh, there's like two or three crabs, like by each of us. I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know? And then we just turn off the light, and it just like, you start to feel crabs, like, just crawling because, you know, we're wrapped. And we turn on a light, we look around, and like those three, four, or five crabs turn to like 10, 15 crabs. And the crabs just kept coming. Like, and we were like, well, like, they're just crabs. They're just tiny crabs. What can they do? You know? And then you're like, well, if I fall asleep and they cut through the net and they crawl and they eat me, and it's like, you know, one of those movie covers, and there's just like the corpse. You know? And so we're like, well, what do we do? You know? And they just kind of kept coming. We're like, well, we'll just kind of like not go to sleep. We'll just try to like just, you know, just stay awake and maybe they'll go away. And they kept coming. Like the crabs just kept coming from the beach. You'd shine it kind of towards the water and the ground was just moving. And we were like, what is going on? And that was part of it. And then you would hear these rustling in trees and we'd look up and we'd see raccoons, like, about to pounce. So the desperate measures comes in when Tim says, I've got a knife. And the crabs are kind of coming in, and they're crawling on us. And, I mean, even at one point, a crab, you know, you're looking up, and you see through the mosquito net into the sky, and a crab jumps. Like, an aerial attack lands on top of the net, and is just trying to crawl in somehow. They just want to eat us. And so Tim, he's like, I've got an idea. I'm going to cut his arms off. I'm going to put him there as a warning to the other crabs. So he gets his knife and he like grabs a crab and he just cuts all of his arms off, just puts his body there. And then we have the light and we're just kind of all like looking, you know, at this crab and its eyes are like, and it's like just bubbles. It's like, and I mean, no joke, this crab, you see this other crab super slow creep in, lift up the mosquito net, take his two little pinchers behind this body of a crab, just eyes pinned on us, grabs the buddy, picks him up, slowly just walks back. Just like, you're not taking me, you know? Like they saved, that was, to me, it was like a war story. They're talking about it to this day at Witch's Rock. Anyway, those are my desperate measures.